After the news of the woman that was found several years after she wandered off the Appalachian Trail, we wanted to revisit safety in the woods. Here to chat with us is Tom Suter. He is the Wilderness Trail Director for the Border Route Trail Association. Welcome, Tom. Thanks for being here tonight.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. First of all, could you just briefly, the Border Route Trail, explain where it is, how long it is, where it goes?
Okay, the Border Route Trail is approximately 65 miles north in length and runs from the Gunflint Trail in the west by Magnetic Rock all the way down through the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, and its eastern terminal is the Grand Portage State Park by Swamp River on Otter Lake Road.
Okay, and it's a fairly rugged trail, yes?
It's rugged from the standpoint a lot of rocks in the tread were in the Boundary Waters section. Basically, it is treated as a wilderness trail, and we don't do things like improve the tread itself. We don't remove rocks. Basically, and when we maintain it, we just brush it and remove the trees that have fallen into the trail.
So you're the Wilderness Trail Director for the association that manages the trail. What do you consider some of the essentials for carrying on a wilderness hike like that trail?
Fairly basic things. Certainly, I would always take a paper map. I prefer to also take a GPS.
A what was that?
A GPS.
Oh, GPS, okay.
And then the fundamentals, like a couple liters of water, whatever food you have to take for the length of trip that you're making. And I think that's basically it. I mean, you'll take tents and spare clothes, and you want to be prepared for changing weather. So you want rain gear if it's appropriate. Again, depending upon how long a trip you're going to make.
So you mentioned that it's considered a wilderness trail. Does that mean that it's not marked with markers?
In the BWCA, all of the intersections with access trails are marked. The intersections with portages have a border route trail sign on them. The portage itself is not marked or labeled. and we do not have reassurance markers other than we place cairns, you know, piles of rock, so people can kind of tell where they should be going. Where it may not be quite as obvious, you know, like when you go across a rock top where it's just you're on a rock and there's no brush cut that gives you an idea where the trail is.
When you mentioned the essentials for carrying, I noticed you mentioned GPS and a map, but you didn't mention a cell phone. What's the coverage like there? I'm guessing it doesn't work in a lot of places.
No, cell phone coverage isn't there. However, I will say in the trail clearing trip over the Memorial Day weekend, one of the guys had his cell phone with him. Basically, he was using a GPS on the cell phone.
And what? Oh, okay, GPS on his phone?
Yeah. And he just happened to turn his phone on when we were up on a ridge. And within 20 seconds, his brother called him. But we think that's probably a Canadian connection, so who knows how expensive that might be.
Right, good point. So speaking of technologies like cell phones, GPS, what else? What about those beacons that some people carry?
Well, I'm familiar with two things. One is the Spot device, and the other is DeLorme's Insight device. The Spot device, I think, was one of the first ones, and basically it has buttons on it that you can send a signal to an email list that tells them that you're okay. There's another button that allows you to tell them that you need help, but it's not an emergency, and then there's an SOS bus button that you press, and that will go to a 911 operator. And cause a rescue group to come out.
Okay, that's the spot beacon?
Right. The InSight actually added some features onto that, which basically was you could actually send text messages through the satellite routes. Both products now have pretty much the same thing that they offer. They offer the actual text messaging, so you can tell people exactly what's going on. Usually people use them for tracking. People can track you on your route if you've enabled the tracking. They can see it on Google Earth. The most interesting thing about both devices is they've actually changed the way that they market it so it's affordable to people that just go out every so often.
Oh.
When they first came out, you know, it's more like really serious people that needed them all the time, so you had a year's subscription that you had to have. Nowadays, you can buy a month's service, and you can buy all kinds of levels of service, where basically you can have a satellite phone if you want, where you can make calls and do whatever.
What's your sense, Tom, of what people generally do who are out on the border route trail?
I guess, you know, we never seem to ask that question of people that we meet hiking on the trail. When we're out working on the trail, we usually have a spot device and we check in each night so the Forest Service knows that we're doing okay. Other people have started using them since they've become more affordable. Especially when they go out on their own. And they'll have their family members or somebody tracking their progress. And, you know, if all of a sudden it shows that they stopped or if they send a need help message, people can get a hold of people to get out there and help them out.
Right. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Tom Suter. He's the Wilderness Trail Director for the Border Route Trail Association. And we wanted to talk about a little bit about safety in the woods tonight. So, Tom, what strategies have you seen that are effective if someone is lost or injured, if they do or don't have that kind of tracking device?
Well, I think most often the advice people give is to, you know, especially if you're lost, is just stop. Try to find an area that has some kind of sky opening. So if you have a mirror with you or some colorful tent or something to signal with, you have a chance of signaling if somebody is flying overhead trying to find you. But, you know, generally they say just stop and let people come find you. And, of course, the critical thing there is you have to let somebody know what your route is and when you expect to be at various points. And if you're not showing up, then you have somebody call and let people know that you seem to be stopped somewhere.
Right. Can you share any stories of people who were lost and found on the border route?
Well, there were a couple of simple things. A couple ladies went out from the trailhead at Crab Lake, which is just north of Loon Lake, and it's actually at the end of Loon Lake Road. They went out to go up to the border route and go west to the Bridal Falls, and when they were coming back, they couldn't figure out how to get back. And the problem was they didn't take a map with them. They just assumed that it was a pretty simple route. And I think what happens is when you're coming back, it's going to look a lot different than when you were going out.
Yeah.
So what they did is they just got to a point where they just stopped and sat down on the trail. Fortunately for them, a ranger had seen them earlier in the day and got curious about them, so he called Loon Lake Lodge to see if they had returned, and they hadn't, so they went out and found them. And just, you know, they hiked back in. That could have been solved by by a fundamental of having a paper map.
Right.
The other one recently was somebody hiked up the Caribou Rock Access Trail into the Stairway Portage, and he couldn't figure out how to get back. And the Caribou Rock Trail at the Stairway Portage is a little bit tricky because it's fairly steep right where you get onto the trail to head back out, or where you end when you're coming into the Stairway Portage. So you can't actually see the tread. And I think he probably, again, assumed it was fairly simple, and then he couldn't recognize how he got down to the Stairway Portage area. So what he did is, again, he just kind of stayed in place. Apparently he had a pot or something with him that he just started banging against the rock to get attention if anybody was in the area. You know, he had people that knew that he was doing that trip, and he didn't come back in a reasonable amount of time, so they called 911, and they went out and found him and brought him back in.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of happy endings there. Sounds like being prepared is the best thing.
Yeah.
So, Tom, before we let you go, do you have any particular recommended reading or guidebooks for people heading out for, you know, maybe the first few times?
Well, practically every major trail, and even some smaller trails, have guidebooks. You know, you can go on the internet and find out all kinds of information. And a lot of those guidebooks will have suggested gear lists. They'll try to inform you of any special things that you should be concerned about with the trail. Like with a BRT, you have to realize that when you're in the wilderness and you go past the Daniels Lake access trail headed east, there's no out until you get to McFarland, which is probably about 24 miles, where you kind of landlocked. You can't get out. You have portages that you could canoe out, but normally you don't take a canoe with you.
Right. Okay. Well, great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time tonight. Very helpful information. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.